The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Yeah. Doug, what's going on, Doug? You look like you're happy. Actually, you got a content.
Yeah, I'm very happy.
You look like you know, eating things.
You
got a happy, like I just came face. You know what I mean? The relaxed.
How would you know that face?
Huh? Huh? Huh?
Actually, yeah.
On another
don't answer,
dude. Yeah.
Don't answer that question. Yeah. Actually,
that's what he said.
This whole father son thing's been creeping me out for a whole year now already.
Well, you know, I sit over here on the side here.
Thank
you
God.
Never know what's going on.
He's got great skin. Yeah. He's got great skin.
He does have great skin.
So last week I called for reviews, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, if we get 12 reviews, I'm giving out 4 shirts.
Mm. What happened?
How many reviews do you think we got this week?
10.
It better be 12.
Exactly 12.
Yes,
exactly 12.
So, in other words, people. Some smart kid actually went and got 10 of his friends' phones, hey. Doug, and put in 12 or 10 different
and
reviews.
Guaranteed himself
guaranteed
a t-shirt.
Guaranteed himself at least
that
one,
is,
maybe
at
two
least
shirts.
One kid. Yeah.
Smart kid.
Very sure. Smart.
Or we just have awesome fans.
Yeah. We do have awesome fans.
So who's the winners?
Well, the first one is Tam Newman. And this one's very notable because I don't know if it's a man or a woman, but
Doug.
You're just being gender neutral.
Gender neutral.
There you
yes.
go. Gender neutral. Yeah. I said that weird.
This person.
I had a stroke.
It doesn't matter.
You had a stroke while I was talking
for
a second.
Adam stroke.
This person had given us 4 stars.
Oh.
Originally.
You know,
but now they changed it to 5 stars.
They came back on to give us a 5 star.
Well, we should read that one because that's special. Yeah. That's never happened before. Let's read that one.
Yeah, I previously gave this podcast 4 stars because I felt that sometimes they take too long to get to the fitness content.
What?
However, I found
how
that
dare you?
It's the first podcast I put on when in the car because they make me laugh. The fitness advice is science-based and not woo BS, and I've learned a lot. Now that I've listened to probably 40 episodes, and the fact that it's my favorite podcast means I need to amend my review to 5 stars.
People beautiful.
I love that.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah, that
but we're not giving you shit because you gave us a 4 the first time. Okay?
So you're disqualified.
Dare you not trust enough.
You're okay? Disqualified yeah. for
but
the shirt.
But thank
it's
you.
Called belief.
Thank you.
Believing
but you don't get a damn thing. Right, Doug? Right?
No. What? Tam, you are getting a shirt.
Oh. All right. You get a shirt.
Yeah. All right. Next one up is Cody Boom Boom McBroom.
Hey.
He's a lot of boom booms.
He sounds like a boxer from the 60s.
Yeah. And Michael Perez.
Or a stripper.
Is our next one.
Boxer or stripper. That's
some kind of prohibition, you know, bar owner. Yeah.
The boom boom room.
Sorry.
Boxer or stripper. Hey. That is a fun
that's
game.
That's not the fun game.
It's a boom boom
boxer
room.
Or stripper.
Write that down.
Boxer
Doug.
Okay.
One or the other.
And then our final one is Mom Lifts.
Oh.
Mom Lifts.
Mm.
So I'm going to repeat these
lifts.
In case you didn't catch
you're
them
sure
because of all the noise.
It's not Milf Lifts?
It's Tam Newman, Cody Boom Boom McBroom, Michael Perez, and Mom Lifts.
Mom Lifts, thank you very much.
Milf? Yeah.
I don't know.
iTunes name,
must be a
address, shirt size to mindpumpradio@gmail.com. And for everybody else, get on those reviews, and next week, if I get another 12, another 4 shirts are going out.
Oh, the generosity.
Ooh, the repeater.
15, you get a naked picture.
The repeater has spoken.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Dude, just did
that's you,
you? Adam, did you tell Justin that we forever. Almost killed someone the other day?
What?
No. Oh, let me share.
Did
this.
You tell him?
Oh, no. I have two great.
No, you didn't.
I'm so excited.
Bro.
No. Listen. Don't even say. Don't let me tell the story.
I can't tell the story?
No, I'm a better story.
Oh, so am I not in the inner, you know, Vegas circle?
You're not yet. Here? Well, no, listen. Okay. Well, Sal and I had a sleepover the other night. So we're hanging out all day.
We made a 4.
Did you guys have s'mores?
I got to tell this story.
We made a 4.
Okay. So,
beat you if you had
one of our good buddies is he just got a job. He's a sales guy for an apartment complex, and he called Sal and I and he wanted us to come down and like help him out with this presentation. So, you know, being good buddies we are, we're like, yeah, sure, we'll come down and have him give us a tour and stuff like that, and we would critique him and yada yada, right? So, we decided to go both down there and go say hi and say what's up to him. Well, we're on our way down there. And we're almost there, and we're checking the address. You know, he's sending us the address ahead of time, and we're trying to find it. And I know we're close. It's off of Lincoln. And we're looking. Sal's driving. I got the instructions where we're supposed to be.
And we're driving slow because I'm looking at the addresses, right?
Yeah, yeah. Right.
And by the way, we're not in like some big busy. It wasn't on a big.
It was a two lane street.
It was two lane.
It was a two lane street. He's on the right side, the closest side to the apartments he's looking for. Long story short, he's driving slow, and there's this guy behind him, and he lays on his horn, and then he does it again. He does it a third time.
We need to preface this, by the way, because I got some, like, we talked about this in a previous episode. There's some shit going on. So I'm under a little bit of stress, right?
See,
so I'm not my best.
Have you driven me before? I don't know.
No.
Yeah.
No. See,
yeah.
You. I know you've got a temper, but see, it's hard to piss me off. It really is. Shit rolls off me. But right. This fucker's laying on his horn, and then I look at my rear, and I'm like, I tell Adam, like, this is the wrong fucking day. Like, usually I don't give a shit. Yeah. But this is the wrong day.
Well,
no.
The best part was I'm watching the inner struggle of him going on. I'm not saying because I would talk some shit, bro. Like I'm not trying to fuel the fire in this situation because I know he's a little more on edge than I am right now. And you can see he's like, this mother, he's looking at me,
he's
like
boiling.
He's looking at me to get approval. I can see it. He looks over at me, this motherfucker.
You ready? Are you ready?
And I'm like, yeah, bro. I see, you take him. You take the 65-year-old Asian man. I got the 72-year-old grandmother that's with him, and we're gonna fuck these two up. Literally, that's what they are.
No. He was young. He was young. It was his grandma.
He wasn't younger than 40.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Okay.
No, this fucker's...
40-year-old, 5'2", little Asian man, and his grandmother,
dude,
honking on us, and Sal and I were about to beat some shit down.
It gets better. He's laying on the fucking horn. I look up in my rearview mirror, and he, like, waves his hand at me. So I'm like this.
No.
So I'm like this. I'm like, I told Adam literally. So I said to him, I said, this is the wrong day.
Yeah.
He picked the wrong day to do this shit.
Somebody's gonna go down.
So then it gets worse. He rolls up next to me. I'm not making this up. Remember, 40-something-year-old, probably Vietnamese guy, I think he was.
Yeah.
And his mom. She's obviously his mom. She's like 60, 70-something-year-old lady.
I already am embarrassed.
She's in the passenger side. He's the driver. He rolls up next to me slowly so he could fucking stare me down.
No, he's not.
Yes.
It's a slow roll stare.
Bro.
Oh, no.
But like gangster. He's looking at me like he's going to fuck me up. Like, he's looking like,
no.
And he just, and I'm looking at him and I'm in disbelief at this point. I'm like, is this really happening?
Sal kept looking back at me like, I swear he's checking for approval for me to jump in with
him. No, I'm looking at Adam like, am I losing my mind? Did that fucking dude?
Is this real life?
And I'm like, oh, man, I don't, you know, are we going to do this or what? You know, he rolls the window down.
I roll my window down.
He rolls the window down and Sal
and that fucker rolls
his... Any Grey Poupon?
Yeah.
No, and that fucker rolls his window down too.
He rolls it down. And you can see each time the guy did something like this, Sal was like, this is fucking, this could happen. He's like, you got my back, right?
It's progressing.
I'm not sure you're going to need it, but okay.
Dude, he rolls his window down. I roll my window down and I'm like, I said, are you in a hurry? And he's like, yeah, no, I'm not in a hurry. You go slow. I said, I understand that, but are you in a fucking hurry? I said, you have no idea who's in my car. Like, you don't know. I'm going to stand up out of this car and you're going to soon realize that I can take you and fold you into origami puppet and then put you in my pocket for later. Like,
oh, shit.
Yeah. So I'm like, do you know? And this is what he says to me. I said, you don't know who's in this car. And he goes, you don't know who's in this car. And I'm like, this, bro, I started laughing. I rolled my window up. I'm like, okay, he's obviously crazy.
I was already dying, bro. This guy.
He's either crazy or he's packing heat.
Yeah.
Because he could clearly see in my car by that point. You see me and Adam. And you could tell by looking at us like, these guys could probably kill me.
It was a little funny trip for us, man. We had quite the time spending with my buddy. We get there, right? And so we get there and he decides he's going to take us on a tour, right? He's going to show us the tour, show us all the rooms, and we're pretending like we're clients and going through the whole process and ask some questions about possibly leasing a place there. And we're going through, right? And I have to pick on Sal. You're going to love this. It's a sport thing.
Oh, no.
It's a sport thing. He does, right? Yes, I am. I have to.
Not.
Yes, we're sharing this.
All right.
So,
but you know what I meant.
Oh, please.
he's already put no preface.
No, stop it. No. I haven't heard this yet.
Okay, so we're walking down the hall. Okay, this place is pretty dope. Okay?
It's actually pretty sick.
No, it's very cool. They have all these like entertainment rooms and all this stuff that you can lease.
Like
for
a big fucking theater. Was
well,
the
yeah.
The,
oh, nice. So we go into, and he goes, here, we're going in the media room. We go walk in, and it's probably like, I don't know, a 50-millimeter. Or 50-millimeter, whatever the big like movie theater fucking screen
50
is.
50 millimeters.
Yeah, that's right. So,
that's about, yeah.
So it's one of those big ones. It's got
there, motherfucker. Yeah. You just fucked up right there. So you make fun. I know you make fun of me. I got that one.
Yeah, you got me. All right. So whatever. So it's a big ass fucking
it's
50 screen.
50 millimeters, but it's hard.
Yeah,
it's hard. Yeah.
So we walk into this thing, right? It's dope. It's got like 12 seats that are captain seats, like your Lazy Boy cup holders in it. It's stadium seating.
It's actually pretty sick.
It's tits. So
I'm getting the picture.
It's better than any like of the NBA players you've seen on Cribs or anything like that. It's that sick, right? It's better than any of those.
Wow.
So I'm impressed. There's like four people that sit there in there, a couple girls, and they're flirting with Sal, and so they're like, oh, who's the cute Italian guy? You can hear him like whispering back and forth. And
you don't have to lie, dude. they were flirty, but they didn't say that.
No, they didn't say
it. Or did they?
No.
You would tell
us. They were eating shrimp and they offered it to us. That's what they were doing.
Yeah. You guys want some of our shrimp?
So back to my
AKA vagina.
Just heard that one before.
Back to my last story here.
Let me go get my condoms.
You must mean ass.
That's we look at our boy. We look at our boy. We're like, sold. We'll take the apartment.
Yeah,
actually,
yeah. Sign the lease.
Where do we sign?
I got cash.
So we walk out. Right. They're watching football and stuff. And we come walking out. And he's like, dude. Sal's like, that thing is fucking sick. I'm like, no, bro. It's $50 an hour, but we could be in there all the time. He's like, seriously, we could throw Super Bowl parties in there all the time. And I go, well, there's only Super Bowl one time a
like
year.
Every weekend,
yeah, yeah.
Bro.
So like, yeah, so like once a year, yeah, we could definitely do that.
And then everybody laughs.
Super
at
Bowl spend. Weekend and, again.
And so he gets mad at me and he's like, well, you know what I mean. You know what I mean. I know there's not Super Bowl every weekend, but
and everybody laughed at Sal.
And everybody laughed.
Listen, two things here. Let me just let the audience know what time it is.
Hey, all the time. All the time we're going to be there.
Come on, number man. One.
It's funny.
Listen, you've never heard of a theme party? Huh? I could throw a fucking Super Bowl party. You know what I'm saying?
You know, any kind of big time event. That's going
everybody,
on.
Come over to my house. It's going to be a Super Bowl themed party. You never heard of that?
Yeah, it's the World Series, but we're going to do a Super Bowl
World Series Super Bowl party.
It's a Super Bowl. Wear your favorite
2016 twice in a row.
All right.
I knew you would appreciate
that's
that.
That's awesome,
I
dude. Knew you would appreciate no, that's hilarious.
Yeah,
that's
it's great. It's good.
Yeah.
And now it's time to move on to the quaw.
It is quaw time.
Motherfucking quaw.
Beginning with Ian's Eats, one of our mastermind members.
I know that guy.
He's an OG.
He is an OG.
He's an OG.
He has amazing fucking hair.
He does.
He makes me jealous every time I see his hair. Dude.
So I have...
It's like very Thor.
Because I know he's listening right
now. That's exactly how I grow my hair out, but not quite that long, and I wear my straight-billed cap.
Not anymore, though.
Back in the day. Yeah, fuck off.
I had to grease the shit out of my hair to get to do what I wanted.
Bro.
I'm going to get jabs all the rest of this episode because of that story.
Let me tell you about Ian, because I know he's listening right now. Ian's, I think he's popular with the ladies. I get the feeling that he's popular because you can kind of tell.
Those crystal blue eyes.
He is, isn't he?
Absolutely is.
All right, let's answer. We're going to answer your question. Hopefully.
I caught him calling the Fancy Fitness hotline
while you're with your girls. You're listening.
Yeah.
The background music.
So Ian's question is: what is the advice that you would give your 22-year-old self when dealing with business and running companies?
Sell drugs. Don't get caught. Invest your money. I'm just kidding.
What the fuck are you telling my story for, bro? Come on, not even your turn.
The advice I would give my 22-year-old self, God, that's good because it's tough. Because it's like, here's the thing. If I was 22 and someone told me some shit, I'd have to learn it for myself a lot of times.
Yeah. You kind of have to go through those pitfalls.
And it depends on the business. There's so much you could learn. I would say this. This is what I would say. Prepare yourself for the fact that you're not going to get money and glory for a while. It's gonna take a long time before you see any type of success. So you're in it for the long haul.
Yeah, I'm like, think bigger, work harder.
Yeah,
you know, like I want to. If I was to think about myself back then, like, you know, think about the riskiest, you know, most monumental thing that I want to accomplish and start pounding away at it. Then, you know,
mm-hmm.
I used to give a poker analogy with this, and I started my first business when I was a teenager. And when you first start off, you typically, you know, you're young, you don't have a lot of collateral, so you can't take huge risks, you know. But it's nice because you know either you live in your parents, or you have a good situation when you're younger, and so maybe you can do maybe a little bit of risk because you have something to fall back on. So you start off your first business, and to me, that's like, okay, you've worked, you've had money, a little bit of money, and now you're pushing, you know, some of your chips in, and you're going all in. I'm going to go all in. I'm going to start this little business and go after this venture. And All In isn't a lot of risk right now because you don't have a lot yet. So it's kind of cool. If you fail, whatever, you're back to doing whatever. You're young still. That was my mentality. And then you have your first business, and maybe you win your money back and maybe a little bit something, or maybe you don't even get your money back. Maybe you don't quite, but then you don't lose all of it, but you got a great learning experience from that business. And now you're getting a little bit older and it's time for, you know, another, business venture that you want to do. But this one's, you know, got way more potential than the first one you ever did, but it also requires a little more money, and it's a little more risk, and there's a lot more to go into it. So, you know, to shorten this long story up is, as you continue to progress like that, you got to know that the bigger this business is going to be for you, the more sacrifice, the more work, the more everything it's going to be.
Well, the bigger the stakes.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. And so you just keep that in mind as you're going through. A lot of people like to say it gets easier. It doesn't get easier. It gets tougher. So, you know, and it takes people that make millions of dollars are very, very special people. And, you know, and I know a lot of times people like to point out somebody who was lucky or this or that. You know,
for the majority of people who worked their way to that point. Yeah.
Not if you built it from a business. If you built $1 million from building a business, I mean, you definitely put some fucking hard work that was not paid for a very long time to probably get to that point.
Well, here's how I look at it.
Or you start with $2 million like Trump. You know?
Yeah. Hey, he turned it into billions.
Hey, that's awesome.
Think about it this way. You start a business. You've got nothing. You've got, you know, you've just got some money you saved up. You start up a business, and now it's making you, like, decent money. But in order to make that business grow, you got to put that on the line now. And this is why what Adam's talking about, the bigger it gets, the bigger the stakes, because now you're sacrificing what you've already built. Whereas before, you're just sacrificing a little bit of money and really nothing, right? Think about that. Like, okay, I'm starting this new sandwich shop. Now I've got one location and it's successful. Now I'm going to open two more. It's putting the one that's finally successful at risk with the other two, because I'm putting more money into it. And what if those two suck real bad and I get a bad reputation, whatever. So it's just the stakes get bigger as you grow. And you've got to know that you're that kind of person that can do that. Because I think entrepreneurs, a lot of entrepreneurs are kind of born with that attitude, not born successful, but born with the attitude that they like to take you know, they prefer to bust their ass and take those risks and keep swinging the bat.
Well, it's really, it's just putting yourself in a really uncomfortable position. If you're that young, it's really hard to think in those terms. Like, you know, you're trying so hard to make money and then, like, you know, be chill and have all these cool things to hang out with your friends with and all that kind of stuff. And that's a pretty typical mentality when you're young. If, you know, the exception is the person that's like, you know, I've made X amount of money, blah, blah, blah. And then you put it back into business, or you put it into, like, you know, like savings or pursuits not even to be touched. You know, that these are all disciplines. You're talking about somebody, if they have like that kind of discipline when they're really young, holy shit.
Oh, that's I love you. I'm glad you touched on that. I used to do this.
I love you guys.
To piggyback off of what Justin said, piece of advice, this may be something you use, you may not. There's no real formula or number to this, but this is what I used to do. So as my businesses that I started doing different things started taking off, and I actually started making pretty good money. And then at a young age, that's tough. It's tough. It's not that tough. It's awesome, you know, but the tough part is doing what Justin's saying, is learning to have those disciplines of seeing the future of where the business could eventually go. Cause a business is always growing or dying. And a lot of times we get all excited and we start celebrating as soon as it grows to a point where you actually get to put some money in your pocket, and you don't realize you got to continue that same grind and push.
You should maintain that.
Just to maintain that. And if you wanted to elevate it, you're probably going to have to push more chips in, right?
You start knocking sleep off.
So from a saving perspective, like Justin was saying, I used to tell myself, you know, no matter how much money I made in a month, the surplus, so let's say I had bills X amount of dollars and I'm left over with, you know, let's say a few grand I'm left over in the month, then and we'll say 2 grand just for shits and giggles, then I would have to save at least $1,000 would have to go, you know, reinvested into my business, or I would save it for whatever future endeavors. And then, hey, I would reward myself and be able to buy stuff or do things. Now, some people are great savers and they could save all $2,000. Kudos to you. For me, and I think those that have been listening to the show for a long time know that I like nice things. But at the same time too, I also learned at a very young age, because I didn't have anything growing up, that I'd have to be responsible too. I couldn't just flounder all the money that I had and just blow it on whatever and not have a plan and not have a direction all the time. So, and if you want to keep shit really real and get behind, like, I tell you what, Ian, like, this is what we're talking about right now. The all four men in this room are dealing with as we speak.
Yeah. Oh, it's never ending.
No.
And right now we're going through probably the biggest. This
is a new step, a new level that we've never seen before.
Okay, let's keep this real. All four men in this room are very, very successful entrepreneurs outside of Mind Pump. We started with Mind Pump with this great vision and that we wanted to do, and a lot of that was really giving back to the fitness industry, and we wanted to see some things change, knowing that it could possibly turn into something really big. Obviously, we wouldn't have started it if we didn't think it could turn into something big. And it has, and it's gotten to the point where it's so big, the four of us are now looking at ourselves going like, holy shit, we're at this point where we need to make a decision whether we push all our fucking chips in and we retire everything else we're doing and put it into what we love doing, which is this right now. And a lot of us are right now, we're checking the water. It's like we're putting our toe in and we're like, fuck, that's a lot. We're risking a lot because now we're not little kids anymore. We're not 22 years old, just starting a first business, making a little bit of money. Now we got a lot, everybody in this room has a lot at risk. And it's a very, very tough situation to be in. But I also think that, you know, everyone in here is very mentally tough and has been through enough businesses in the past to know what it takes to
and
get there.
I'll tell you this much. Right. If I was a single 22-year-old guy, look, I mean, simple. I'm still like that. If I was on my own, very simple. I don't need shit. I need a bed and a shower. I'll sleep in the gym. That's the truth. I would have no problem doing that. Taking all my shit, if I had a gym, for example, and I was starting off a new fitness business, I would sleep in a fucking room in the gym. I have no problem with that. So you've got to be one of those people that
you got to be a crazy.
It's a little bit. Yeah. You're like a little bit crazy.
We are a little crazy,
and I'm willing to do that. The difference now is I have a family to support and all that stuff. That's a different risk.
Cause that's a stage. Now you're risking, you know, things involving your family, which is even more intense.
Right. Right. Yeah. But otherwise, yeah.
Don't be afraid to be assessed.
But don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Yeah. Yep.
T Jones 2787 is asking, while fasting, will any supplements break the fast?
Supplements that calories, so fats, proteins, or carbs will break the fast. There's some controversy as to whether or not branched chain amino acids will break the fast, because like leucine, for example, will initiate certain hormonal responses in the body that might, for example, it might raise insulin a little bit. Yeah. And they say, oh, that's not good because then you're out of that fasting stage. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. I'd like to see, like, you know, real studies on it. But, you know, and look, there's studies right now done on fasting where they're doing, these are long fasts, by the way. We're not talking about the ones that we recommend. I'm talking about, like, studies on, like, legit 5-day type fasts. And they're coming out with, and there's, instead of saying don't eat no food for five or don't eat any food for 5 days and drink water, we're just going to have you eat 500 calories a day for 5 days, and that will be your fast. And they're finding very similar results. So there's a lot of different ways to do this. We put it all out and broke it all down for you with our intermittent fasting guide. We have it at mindpumpradio.com. So we kind of break it down. The thing about fasting is this. If you're fasting for performance and fat loss, there's a right way to do it and there's a wrong way to do it. Mm-hmm. If you do it wrong, you're going to notice some dramatic – you're going to notice some big drops in performance. And you could, you know, it could not be good for you. If you do it right, it can be very healthy.
You have to know your goals, you know, to achieve through it too. You know, like if it, you know, you're trying to get lean, but you're also trying to promote, you know, building muscles. Like you have to account for all those things. And
what do we have? Six? Is there six different fasts in there? Different types?
So yeah, like we list.
There's a lot of different ways you can do that. A lot of people think that
warrior diet.
Yeah. There's
bulletproof kind of methods, and that kind of stuff.
That's once again why we're not out here to say this way is the best way or this is better than this way. You know, sharing it with you guys, teaching the science behind it, and then explaining, hey, find what works for your lifestyle.
Yeah, and see, honestly, find the one that sounds like, oh, that I could do that.
Yes.
You know, like that makes sense within what I'm already doing. First, you know, go with that. And then that's when you start playing around with it.
Because in reality, which is in the guide too, we talk about all these benefits that you're getting in any of those fasts you do, you're getting these benefits from that. So it, like Justin said, it's about finding what works well for you. And once you figure that out, and then you incorporating it into your lifestyle on a regular basis, because where the science is proven and where we will tell you is the facts are there. There's lots of health benefits behind it, period.
Bottom line. You have to do it, long enough to really see the benefit.
And do it right. You have to do it the right way.
Right, exactly.
But to go back to the original question about supplements, if the supplements don't contain any calories, then you're probably okay.
Yeah, and they were actually asking, I just went back and looked at the whole question. It was the only one that had any, could possibly have any calories is the BCAA. The rest was like, you know, creatine and
And just BCAAs aren't calories because it's not a complete protein, but there's a whole debate about it. And here's the thing. Why would you take branched amino acids throughout the day unless it was like pre or post workout? Besides that, you probably wouldn't anyway. But there's some argument as to whether or not that, because of the changes it might elicit in the body, that might break a fast. I think they're splitting hairs there. So I think as long as it has no calories, you're probably fine.
Yeah.
Next qua.
Dan R87. Can switching from mini bulks to mini cuts mess up your metabolism?
The opposite.
Mess up your hair. Yeah. That's about it.
The opposite. What will mess up your metabolism is going low for a long periods of time, beating your body up during that process, or from massive gains and massive losses. That tends to have, cause issues with the body. But the whole concept between a mini bulk and a mini cut is that you're only in a surplus or a deficit for 3-4 weeks at a time, maybe even 2 weeks at a time. And what you're trying to do when you're doing a mini cut and a mini bulk is you're trying to gain the benefit of the either surplus or deficit and negate or at least minimize some of the bad effects. For example, when you're bulking, excess calories, we know this, excess calories will cause an anabolic response to the body. It will make your body want to build muscle. So if you're already lifting weights properly and then you bump your calories on top of it, you're more likely to build more muscle as a result. However, do it long enough, even after a couple weeks, and the body loses that muscle, you know, building effect and just starts to, you know, want to gain body fat. Mm-hmm. So now you went from building lean mass to just getting fatter. And this is why you see a lot of people who are doing these long bulks and they're just, you know, I gained, you know, 20 pounds and, you know, like 13 pounds of it is fat.
Well, that has to do with your insulin sensitivity too, right?
What's going on? All those things. Your body adapts.
So in a sense, this is really enhancing your metabolism more than, you know, anything else.
Absolutely. And the same thing with a cut. Like you go in a deficit, you'll burn body fat. You stay in a deficit too long, you start losing muscle, or your body starts to adapt and your metabolism starts to slow down. But if I was in a deficit for a couple weeks, and then with a small surplus. And look, if you're looking for long-term cut, because I've had people ask me that, well, what if I want to just get leaner? Well, then this is how you utilize it. You do a deficit for 2 weeks. You do surplus for a couple days. And then you go maintenance for a few days. And then you go back down to a deficit. So it's that same kind of philosophy of moving the calories around a little bit to keep the body
A lot of people don't realize the importance of that. And the reason why I asked you to retouch on the insulin was that the two big ones are insulin for the building and then the leptin for when I'm cutting. So these are extremely important. These hormones are extremely important to your overall results when you're trying to go either direction. And both of them start changing and adapt, like he says, when you run any of them for a long period of time. And the last thing that we want when we're cutting is for our leptin levels to keep dropping through the floor, because that's the hormone responsible for telling your brain to kick up and start metabolizing because it's got extra calories or it's been fed. And so that works to our benefit. So by doing what Sal said, by spiking back up for a few days, what that does is it respikes,
resets it,
shoots the leptin levels back up. And pay attention to when you do that, because here's where people always screw up. They do that, right? And then boom, the second day, metabolism is fucking roaring. You will feel it. And when you feel it,
you're hungry.
You're hungry. And so then people go like, oh my God,
I got hunger demons.
Exactly.
Again.
Now, then they start feeding themselves like crazy because they feel like, okay, I'm not supposed to be hungry and now I'm going to feed myself. And then you overconsume. But because of that, now what you got to do is stay disciplined to your plan. So if you're shooting, you shoot back up on that day and then you go back to maintenance, like Sal was saying, you got to stay at the maintenance clerk.
Yeah, just do
that. And here's where that appetite control comes in. But you got to learn to embrace that feeling as, man, that's a good sign. That's me learning to read my body, what I just did. I just came off of cutting for 2 or 3 weeks in a very low calorie. I'm in a deficit every day. And then boom, I spike. I shoot up my caloric intake by about 20% over probably my maintenance is what I would do. I spike it up and then I come back down to my maintenance. Now, when I come back down to my maintenance, my stomach is just growling throughout the day. But then I'm going like, yes, I felt it. I did what I was supposed to do. That's what I'm looking. That's what I want to happen mm-hmm. from that. Mm-hmm. So
that actually goes right into the next qua. I see that up on the board there, Doug.
Yeah, CTM1. How about scheduled refeed days?
Oh, exactly.
That's perfect, right? That's perfect right into what we were talking about. So a refeed day is different than, or should be different than a cheat day.
And he said that on there. He was specific. He knew what he was talking about.
So a cheat day, typically the way people will use it, it's like, it's my free day. I get to eat whatever I want, so I'm going to eat a bunch of shit, right?
Yeah. Donuts and ice cream.
The refeed day is similar in concept to like the mini bulk, mini cut, in the sense that I'm going to boost my calories for a couple days or for a day to keep my leptin levels where I want them so I can continue to keep my metabolism roaring. With a refeed day, though, you're not eating shitty food. Probably the best way to do it is kind of eat what you've been eating, the healthier food,
and then
just eat more of it.
Just a little. You add like one little thing on top of that,
or something. Yeah, extra
simple. You know, like
cheese on everything.
Oh yeah.
Hey babe.
That's totally what I do.
Can you put some cheese on my cheese?
Just gotta put that cheese on it.
Now the only place that a refeed. A refeed gets really technical is when you start getting lower body fat percentage. And I don't remember what episode. I know it was quite a while back. I talked about this, and because I don't have the numbers in front of me and I don't have a photographic memory like this douche next to me. I can't remember.
Talking about Doug?
Yeah. I don't remember.
At least he smells fresh.
I hate him for that, dude. It's so unfair. It's like literally I not only talked about this, I read about it recently, and then I can't even remember the exact numbers. But I know
makes me angry.
He would see it one time regurgitated 10 times better than I could. You
and
know?
This demonstrates how marijuana affects people differently.
You know who else could do that?
True story.
Johnny Five.
Oh my God.
I'm gonna start calling you Johnny Five. You want a new nickname?
There you go.
Johnny Five.
All right. So where I'm getting at with this is, as you get lower in your body fat percentage, and we're gonna use rough numbers, you can look them up or I'll try and find them later for you. Let's say I'm a male and I'm below 6%.
Yeah, pretend with me.
Yeah. I'm below 6% body fat. Okay, I'm below 6% body fat. I have very little room to play with. So I'm talking to these people only right now. Those people actually need a refeed probably every 2 to 3 days tops. So you don't want to be in a deficit longer than about 3 days and then refeed up again.
Because your body is, you're so lean.
Yes.
It's you're I mean, ladies and gentlemen, that's a borderline unhealthy lean, right?
It is.
So your body's going to fight it differently. And yeah. I remember specifically... when I did photos a while ago, I got the leanest I'd ever got.
Skeletor lean.
And it was a whole different level of cravings.
It is.
Yeah. It was another level. Like, I can get hungry now. It's not a big deal. Man, it's like I would fucking fantasize about a food all fucking day. Like, think about it. Like, oh my God, that's so... And just get a boner. You know what I mean? Because I'm thinking about it.
Drop out of the sky.
And I would fantasize about like a strawberry. It's like a ridiculous level of craving because your body doesn't want to be that lean.
Yes. Thank you for that elaborate explanation.
No problem.
Explaining because we all have a visual now.
I had to throw in boner.
So, okay. Now let's hop you up to the next category. You're between 6 and 10% body fat. This person probably needs to refeed somewhere between every 4 to 7 days. Once again, you're pretty low still, but you're not, I mean, we still got some body fat that, you know, our body's potentially going to want to use, and you're not as worried about it sacrificing any muscle. So, and your levels are already low because you're so depleted and low. So shooting it back up is going to become more important and more often. As you get further out than that, like let's say 15% or north of that, now it becomes something refeed really is only necessary every 2 to 3 weeks. You know, and then once we're getting up into obese or you're really, really overweight,
then you're probably fine.
Yeah, then you're probably fine.
That's a great point because I could see people who are, you know, 17% body fat and they're like, oh, I heard on Mind Pump, I need to do a refeed.
Yeah.
So I'm going to refeed every other day.
Yeah, no, it's not. And then when you do a refeed, should be somewhere between 10 to 20%. A surplus of what your maintenance is for that day, you know, or spread out over 2 to 3 days in an even smaller amount. You know what I'm saying? So it's not supposed to be go bananas that day because it's your day off and cheat like a motherfucker and go over by 1,000 calories because most certainly you've been coming off of it. That'll just shoot yourself in the foot because you just have come off of being so low and lowering your leptin and then you overdo it. Guess where all those extra calories are going? They're not all going to good use. So a lot of those extra calories.
That's cottage cheese.
That's right. Exactly. Those dimples in your ass.
Yep.
Slap them. Yeah.
John Alva 7.
Another OG.
Yep. How do you keep clients after they have achieved their goals?
Oh, that's easy. You what you do, once they got to their goal, you want to start training them incorrectly, because then then they'll continue to need your services.
It's like the ongoing pyramid.
I'm getting fatter again. That's what happens. Let's just keep working out.
Let's go back the other way.
You have to give them a lot of value. And your value as a trainer, when you've been with someone for 3, 4, 5, 6 plus years, isn't always your fitness knowledge. It's just you. It's who you are. It's your companionship,
camaraderie,
all that stuff. Because you're right. I've trained people for 10 years who, I mean, in that 10 year period, I could have turned them into personal trainers, but they continue to see me because of the guidance, because of the other types of values that I present. So I think that's kind of, because that's a whole nother level, right?
Well, you end up developing relationships with these people. You know, they're friends, they're confidants. You know, it just becomes one of those things where you look forward to seeing each other. You know, just like anybody else that you like. You know, and so that's really how you got to look at it. You got to be likable, and you got to treat these people with, you know, the same respect and care
that you did the first day.
First day, and just like your friends and family.
Exactly. Treat them that way, like you did day one when you're trying to get them to hire you for the first time.
Yep.
That's how you train them. You know, year 10. They're always that person. If anything, it's funny because I've had people call me and want to, you know, hire me as a trainer. And it's only happened a couple times where somebody says, you know, oh, you know, just give me a discount. You know, it's my first time. And this is what I always respond. I say, look, if I'm going to give anybody a discount, it's going to be to my client that's been with me for 12 years. It's not going to be to you, brand new guy that I don't really care about.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So all excellent advice.
When you clear your throat, you're going to say something different.
Yeah, he's like, I'm completely.
He's like, I'm going to let you guys finish, theory. And then I'm going to say the truth.
I'm going to address some wisdom on you. All that I think is super, super important from the money aspect and sales, and actually because for business reasons, it's good for you to keep those clients for as long as you possibly can. This is what I do. When you start off, first of all, the difference between a good closer and a great closer is this: a good closer can push anybody into a sale. A great closer will pull somebody into a sale. And I think of, while I'm training a client, I'm setting up a close. And my ultimate close is, you're going to train with me for the rest of my life.
You continually draw pictures.
And so what I'm doing is I'm always kind of planting seeds of future goals for us. Not, we're focusing on something right now, whatever that may be, weight loss, flexibility, whatever we're doing currently right now. But I'm starting to plant subtle seeds into his or her mind about future things I would love to work on with them. And, you know, let's say I just did this recently with somebody who, you know, we've accomplished their fitness goals as far as like weight loss. That was what they first came to me. I want to lose 15 pounds and be healthier. All that stuff's great. But then I'll say, you know what I'd really love to do is work on your strength. You know, I want to work on your strength. We haven't really focused on that. You know, you look great here. I'd like to do this. And I paint that picture for them, what that's going to look like with me. Mm-hmm. And I'm not pushing them into the sale. I'm just kind of explaining what it would be like.
If anything, you're actually being a guide. You're being their fitness guide.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm slowly getting them comfortable with the idea of doing that. So then when it comes time to re-sign our contract or re-up or however you set up your training sessions and pay, it's a really easy transition, because then it's like, you know, are you excited? You want to start working on your strength now over the next 4 to 6 weeks? And, you know, it's an easy transition. And, you know, as soon as I start that phase where I've already got the plan, we're setting out, I'm training his or her every day. And now I'm
thinking like the ongoing assumption close.
It is.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, I've done both. So I've had people that just train with me just because they like me or like to hang out, whatever. But also same thing. Like you do want to still, you know, be a part of this profession and get them to adapt and experience new avenues of fitness or health. So, you know, I guess a focal point would be something definitely. Yeah. Find a focal point, find something that they can master, you know, even if it's just an exercise or something like that, that, let's really
absolutely
nail this down, the technique, the biomechanics, you know, other problems come up, whether it's stress or it's like pains. Those are always things that you're going to address, you know, and their body's going to change.
There's two
over time.
That's perfect. Cause there's two things that really just came to me. Cause I don't really, you know, I think about this sometimes, but I don't really go into depth. And while you were talking, Adam, I was thinking, cause I don't listen when you talk, and I'm just kidding. No, I was thinking because you were saying some good stuff. One thing, is that when I train people a long time, new goals come up naturally also.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to have a baby, I'm getting married.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm thinking about doing this run or whatever. And so these things start to come up, and then I become the guide on those. And then what were you were saying something else about
Pains and
there you go.
Yeah.
That's another big one. my clients will call me when hurting.
Yep, me too.
And if you become that trainer, that kind of trainer, to when your client feels stressed, feels a pain in their body somewhere, or has some kind of health issue, and they come to you to help them, you've become invaluable. You've become now a life guide when it comes to their health and fitness. Because I'll have people call me and say, "Hey, Sal, I, you know, I went skiing and I twisted my knee. You know, can I come see you?" That's what you want. That's that.
Can you help me rehab my way through this? Or I've had that quite a bit.
Exactly. Makes it that right there is huge value. Or if they're really, really stressed out, I have clients. I have one lady that I train. I love her to death. She listens sometimes, so I'll give her a shout out. Her name is Rita. Love her to death. Been training her for a while. She's a surgeon, one of the best surgeons around. Very, very smart. Works very hard. And she'll come in, obviously a very stressful job. She's a general surgeon, so she works on sometimes cancers of the abdominal cavity, all those different things. And she'll come in and be like, "Oh, I'm so glad I'm here." Like, this is like the, you know, coming to see me and work out is like the highlight of her day. If you can become that, indispensable. You're not going anywhere. You'll be their trainer for a very long time.
I feel really passionate. I'm glad we picked this one to talk about, because this is something that I used to try and just drive into my trainer's head. And a lot of this is because it was a another personal growth thing for myself. When I first started off, I had clients right away. You know, I had clients from day one that started with me and would stay with me forever, so years. And if I were to look back and I'd actually rate myself as a trainer those first 5 years, I've said it before that I don't think I was a very good trainer. But yet what I had these clients that stay with me for a year, 2 years, 3 years. And that was because I relied a lot on my I was charismatic, and I, you know, my clients liked to come see me. And yeah, we were working out and doing things that we should be doing. So it was a win, but I wasn't that guide yet. I wasn't that person who was really, really, to me, I don't think I was a necessity, where now I feel like when I train somebody, it's also good for me to set those goals, because it keeps me challenging myself as a trainer. Because very easily I can become comfortable in a 2 year training relationship where I'm training this lady and we just love to talk and we lift our weights and we kind of bro work out and we do our thing, go through the movements or whatever. And we just kind of, I feel good about myself because I know they're deloading a lot of stress. I'm keeping them in shape. They enjoy this. You know what I'm saying? They learn stuff from me constantly. So I would justify that being okay. But I find when I make myself, I go like, man, this client and I have been training for about 4 months and we've already accomplished our goal and we really don't have an exact, I will give direction. I will give direction because I know it'll make me a better trainer. And it just ensures that. Now, I was lazy in the past because I was charismatic, but if you discipline yourself to be that person and you're charismatic, it's a fucking double whammy. You're going to be amazing. But you can still be very successful and not charismatic if you put that to the test. As far as
you want to aim to become a maven in what you do. You want to be the, you know, the goal is to, isn't that a great word? You want to know,
maven.
Yeah. You want to be the person that knows the answer or knows someone that knows the answer. That's a big one too, because I learned this a long time ago. I learned a long time ago that people would really trust me if I said to them, "I don't know, but I know someone who does." When I say that, guess what? I have all the fucking answers again.
Dude, it's such a great, I just
can't. Or you're connected to really,
that's what I'm saying.
Smart, yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, I can go to him and he's got the answer.
And he has a network around
that's
him.
That's what I'm saying.
Answers.
Like, you know, I don't know how to, I don't deal with structure. I'm not a structural professional. I'm a professional muscle, you know, muscular function. So but I do have a friend that's an expert on that. He's a chiropractor. He's really good.
And you stay in your lane and that's you're the expert in this lane.
And that right there will build so much fucking value.
I literally was just sharing this with a trainer that I'm mentoring right now. And I'm so glad you just said that right now.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Well, I just was, and I'm not going to say any names or anything like that. Cause I don't want them to think it's something they should be embarrassed about. Cause I think it's such an important thing to reiterate, is that I was telling this person that, do not, because they were timid to, like, you know, program designing and doing some stuff, and they were huge Mind Pump fans, you know, a fairly new trainer, only been in the industry for less than two and a half, 3 years. And, you know, so, and smart enough to seek out for advice, listen to Mind Pump. She's a huge fan, so that asking me a lot of questions and stuff all the time. And I said, listen, do not be afraid to just associate yourself with us when you don't know an answer, and admit that, no, I don't know that, but you know what? I'm good friends with Adam and Sal and Justin, and, you know, let me pick their brains, and then, you know, I'll let you know what they think. Because especially in the facility, of course, that I work in, I've created that authoritative position already as the trainer that everyone kind of comes and asks out to with. So instead of letting your ego get in the way and feeling like you need to know it all, and you need you don't need to, and you don't need to have all the answers all the time. But just simply because you're associated with people that might be able to give you those answers, or probably will in your industry, then don't be afraid to do that. You'll go so much further, and you're going to learn a lot that way too.
You learn a shit ton, and then you learn a little bit about each of those professions, yeah. and it helps you determine who you send people to. Like, I'm pretty good now at determining whether or not I need to send someone to my friend who's a correctional massage therapist, or if I need to send them to a chiropractor, or if acupuncture is going to work better for them, mm-hmm. or if I have a naturopath that I can send people to. I have a better understanding of that now because I've been doing it for so long. I've been working with these people. Because then when my client comes back to me and says, I saw your friend, you know, so-and-so, the chiropractor, mm-hmm. and he said this, this, and this, now I can say associate that with their symptoms. And if I hear another client say that, I said, you know what?
Yeah.
I wonder if it's this, this, and this, but let me send you to my friend
who's a chiropractor. It reinforces their belief in you. Yeah,
absolutely. And you become, and you learn so much from that. You become, yeah. like I said, you become a maven.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.